Under the Golden Dome is supported by the Iowa Bankers Association and by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, fostering causes that enrich the community, generate understanding, and cultivate compassion, including Above and Beyond Cancer.
From Iowa Public Radio News, this is the weekly legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimble. In a subcommittee, a bill advances when a majority of legislators in a panel sign off on it. These meetings also allow for public comment. There are also a few times a year when there is a meeting for a bill that is only a public hearing. This kind of meeting has no legislative action and is only for a committee to hear members of the public speak about a bill. On Monday, a House committee holds a public hearing for a bill that would change Iowa's election laws. It's one of the most controversial bills of this session. Because this is a House public hearing, in-person attendance at the Capitol is required to participate during the meeting.
In the midst of a pandemic, Iowans voted in record numbers. 75.77% of those eligible voted. That's awesome. Secretary of State Pate congratulated us.
Janice Weiner from Iowa City is one of around two dozen people to speak during this hour-long public hearing. Weiner talks about the November 2020 election and the praise it received from Iowa's Secretary of State. She opposes this bill because it reduces the number of days Iowans can vote early.
Shortening the absentee window will disadvantage shut-ins, snowbirds, domestic violence victims, the elderly, many in rural areas, and more. And taking people off the voter rolls for missing one general election is unconscionable.
The bill also proposes to begin the process of removing a voter from the active voter rolls after missing one general election.
We need to face the reality that after recent events surrounding the 2020 election, many Americans do not have faith in our elections.
Emily Russell is a Drake University law student. The bill would apply new penalties to existing election laws. Some of the penalties proposed are felonies.
If we don't start taking steps to increase public confidence in the integrity of our elections now, all of us will continue to live in a divided society.
The idea that in current law, if you can register and request an absentee ballot at 120 days, that's 4 months, folks, over 4 months. There are going to be people who die between that time and the actual ballot. Should they be counted? No.
Ken Smith supports the bill because it shortens the time a person can request an absentee ballot from 120 days to 70 days.
That's still 2.5 months. It's plenty of time. Our form of government is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. We're supposed to work at being responsible citizens.
Woodbury County Auditor Pat Gill is concerned the penalties in this bill are too stiff. Some have fines up to $10,000 and would remove a county auditor from that role.
The legislation will pit county auditors against the Secretary of State by placing the Secretary in a position of being the judge and jury over county auditors.
Penalties would be applied at the discretion of the Secretary of State, and Gill says this doesn't encourage auditors to report mistakes.
In Woodbury County, it appears that 7 voters voted twice. I discovered the error while investigating the external threat and reported it to the Secretary of State's office because I want to correct it from prevent it from happening again. I was willing to risk receiving a letter of technical infraction in order to prevent it from happening again. In the future, auditors who are put in the same position may face a vindictive secretary, regardless of party affiliation, and must make a very unpleasant choice that makes them places them in harm's way.
Many of the opposing arguments center on the reduced number of days for mail-in voting. It's currently 29 days. The bill as written during this hearing takes it down to 18 days. Jennifer Irwin is opposed to this reduction.
The only people worried about voting by mail are people who are upset that our current president was elected and people who are upset that he was elected by people who voted by mail.
During the presidential election in a few states, Joe Biden's count began to rise as mail-in ballots were counted.
What people are a little bit concerned about is this: voter integrity, the Dominion machines.
Gary Loeffler supports the bill and says there should be something added to it about voting machines. Former President Donald Trump made false accusations that voting machines made by the company Dominion were programmed to change votes to favor Biden.
Right now, you've got half of the people that voted in a national election that are feeling like the yesterday's newspaper in the bottom of a birdcage. And they're trying to figure out, well, how in the world did this happen? So you must restore integrity back into our voting. I think this bill goes a long way to getting that done.
The next day, this bill comes to the Senate floor for debate.
Most of us in my caucus and the Republican caucus believe the election was stolen.
Republican Senator Jim Carlin says Joe Biden was able to win some states because of election fraud.
You know, we've heard that there's no evidence of fraud. I've heard that repeatedly. No evidence of fraud. All right. Well, can we just, I just want to look at a couple numbers. Who believes that Joe Biden got 12 million more votes than Barack Obama on his best day? I don't.
Senator Carlin cites what he believes are irreconcilable numbers when comparing the 2020 election results to when President Obama was elected.
The president, the former president, shall I say, has brought more than 100 legal challenges contesting the election results only where he lost. Every single challenge has been thrown out.
Democratic Senator Joe Bolcom notes former President Trump won Iowa last November by 8 percentage points.
The legislation is not based in reality. It rests on lies. It does not solve any real problems. It creates problems. The bill does not make voting more secure. It just makes it far more difficult.
It's not hard to vote. I absolutely reject the premise of this entire discussion.
Another part of the bill prevents someone who isn't part of a voter's household, immediate family, or caregiver to return an absentee ballot to the auditor. This is a process known as a third-party ballot return. Republican Senator Zach Whiting says this can lead to fraud.
Apparently, no one except for the political elite in this chamber is smart enough, able to read, or otherwise capable enough to vote unless some liberal group requests your ballot, walks it to you, fills it out with you, and then takes it back for you.
This bill has 58 sections. There are a few changes from what the bill was in committee. One change allows early voting to take place over 20 days instead of the previously proposed 18. This amended version of the bill passes the Senate after a three-hour debate. The next day, it comes before the House for a five-hour debate.
The question I've most been asked is why? Why are we doing an election bill?
Republican Representative Bobby Kaufman is the bill's floor manager.
Do you not think that we had a successful 2020 election? I do. Do you think that Iowa is ripe with election fraud this last election? I do not.
Representative Kaufman also includes a new amendment that will close voting at 8 o'clock at every polling station.
Aligning ourselves with almost every other state around us, aligning ourselves, which we're still ahead of, the national average of poll closing time. It will change our polling closing time from 9 p.m. to 8 p.m., which, by the way, mirrors our local municipality poll closing times.
The bill now proposes that when the polls close, only the absentee ballots received up to that time will be counted.
You can't show up to the poll 10 minutes after they close and demand a vote, so your absentee vote should also be in when the polls close.
Right now, absentee ballots sent through the mail are required to be sent with an intelligent mail barcode. This is a tracking code the county auditor affixes to the envelope. If the ballot is received after Election Day, the postmark must indicate it was placed in the mail the day before the election. It can be counted if it is received by the county auditor by the following Monday after the election.
It creates unnecessary barriers for voters.
Democratic Representative Mary Masher opposes these new changes.
It would disenfranchise 6,500 Iowans who cast their vote this year on time, but those votes came in after Election Day. Those ballots would no longer count.
What you call unnecessary barriers, I call security. When you say that a sure count would disenfranchise 6,500 Iowans, I say I trust them to make a plan.
Most of the debate centers around the changing of the number of absentee voting days from 29 to 20. Democratic Representative Sharon Steckman points out Republicans made gains in the Iowa House of Representatives during the last election.
So what I'm asking is, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this in Iowa? We have no fraud. We had a record turnout. People are happy with the way they got to vote absentee, 1 million people. And you better believe some of those people were Republicans, because you won.
Also, most legislators opposing the bill talk about a lack of election fraud in the state, like Democratic Representative Molly Donahue.
I look around this body, and there are 100 people in this room that worked really hard to be here. They worked so hard, and they got so many people to come out and vote that it was a record number. I don't think anybody's in this room because of fraud. Yet we're here today talking about a bill that is going to make it harder for us to do those jobs and get people out to vote.
But at the end of the debate, during his closing remarks, Representative Bobby Kaufman says this bill is not about election fraud.
I do owe my colleagues on the other side of the aisle an apology, because I heard time and time again in dozens of prepared remarks that this bill was derived from fraud. Fraud, fraud, fraud. So I apologize for ruining your prepared remarks by emphatically stating in the beginning of this debate, in the first sentence that I came out of my mouth, that this bill has nothing to do with fraud.
This bill passes out of the House. Since it also passed the Senate, Governor Kim Reynolds is considering signing it.
My team does a thorough review of the bill, and then we set down pros, cons, what it actually does. And so we'll be in the process of doing that.
When Governor Reynolds is asked if there are problems from the last election that need to be solved,
there are Americans across the state that have some concerns about what happened in this last election. And again, I think it's imperative that it's not just understood, but they feel that there's integrity in the election process, and they feel that it's fair and it's done in an equitable manner. And so we'll take a look at the legislation that passed, and we'll make a determination moving forward.
It's common for Governor Reynolds to not commit or extensively comment on bills going through the legislature until she's read the final version. If the bill is signed, the effective start date is immediate. This is the Legislative Podcast Under the Golden Dome. I'm John Pimple.
A good civics lesson teaches you how to be an engaged citizen, and listening to Under the Golden Dome helps you be an engaged Iowan. When you become a member of Iowa Public Radio, you support coverage that keeps you engaged and informed. Give now at iowapublicradio.org/donate. It takes just a few minutes to make a powerful impact.
Under the Golden Dome is supported by Cultivating Compassion, the Dr. Richard Deming Foundation, and by the Iowa Bankers Association. Small businesses are the backbone of Iowa communities, and they're backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are helping small businesses see a stronger tomorrow at iowabankers.com.
Senate Study Bill 1213 is a bill that relates to violations of Iowa's educational laws by superintendents and school board members.
A bill in a Senate Education Subcommittee is chaired by Republican Senator Amy Sinclair. This bill allows a superintendent or a school board member to be removed from office if they intentionally violate state law governing the school. Emily Piper from the Iowa Association of School Boards says the Iowa Board of Educational Examiners already has authority to remove a superintendent.
Based on the Code of Professional Ethics, and in fact has used that provision in the past. And so we feel like there's that this is unnecessary language and a very broad swath of language, and we would prefer to let that stand.
As to removing a school board member, Piper objects because it would remove a duly elected official. This bill allows a district court to take action if citizens file a complaint about a school board member.
We think this is an unnecessary provision. The elections are there for that very purpose. And the breadth of what is being considered of any law that governs a school corporation makes it highly likely that we could see a group of 5 disgruntled citizens consistently filing complaints with the district court asking that they consider whether or not they intentionally violated a law. So I would encourage you not to move this bill forward.
Margaret Buckton from Urban Education Network and Rural Schools Advocates says Iowa code already allows for the removal of office for an elected official by a district court if it can be proven there is a willful neglect or refusal to perform the duties of office.
This would elevate the consequences for school board members at a heightened level compared to all other local elected officials. And we just simply think that that's not fair. What's good for school board members, if it's good process, should also be good for city council members, county boards of supervisors, etc.
There is one section of the bill, Section 3, that is retroactive. It's language aimed at schools that provided remote learning outside of what the law allowed. The retroactivity is July 1st, 2020. And would expire in June 2021.
I'd like to take a minute, if you would allow, to discuss what I believe has brought us to this moment today.
DeWanda Bradley is the chair for the Des Moines Public School Board. This bill could potentially have an effect on the Des Moines Public Schools. This bill is written with language specifically citing what schools like Des Moines did last fall. They did not offer in-person learning options as prescribed by law.
As a school board member, my responsibility is the education of our students, which includes doing what we can to make sure they are learning in a way that does not harm their health and well-being.
Just a few weeks ago, the Des Moines schools were singled out by Republicans as they passed a bill that is now a law requiring districts to require in-person learning.
I know there are some at the state capitol who don't agree with our decision-making. I certainly recognize and acknowledge that. But I am also asking that you do not move this legislation forward and rather extend grace to elected officials who took many factors into consideration in making their decision that we felt at best our community in the midst of a global crisis unlike anything any one of us has ever experienced.
Vice Chair of the Des Moines Public School Board, Rob Barron, also testifies during this subcommittee.
None of us knew we would be leading through a pandemic when we ran for these offices.
Barron says he hopes he never has to face this kind of tough situation again, but says he made the best calls he could.
I spoke to a class of students in my district this morning. They asked me what was the hardest decision I've ever had to make on the board, and I told them it was every decision I made in the past 8 months. I told them that the one thing that I love about being on a school board is the toughest calls are never easy to make. We find ourselves making decisions that are likely to simultaneously excite and disappoint people in our community. 6 months ago, I tried to make the best calls that I could in the interest of my whole community. I hear you, and I want to hear more from you. I also want to echo my chair when I say that I hope this is the first step in finding common ground so that we can all be public servants, the public servants that our 31,000 kids in Des Moines Public Schools and their families need.
Rob Barron, I appreciated your testimony.
Republican Senator Brad Zahn is one of the three subcommittee panelists.
Because it came from your heart, and I know that it was a tough decision for you all to make, and I appreciate your honesty. But as this pandemic went along, we've got a lot more information to make a lot more intelligent decisions. And I just am very frustrated in regards to what's going on.
Senator Zahn says the reason he supported a bill a few weeks ago that now requires in-person learning is because of a few school districts in the state, like Des Moines, that didn't offer enough in-person learning.
We're having a conversation because of some of the school districts out there that have been denied the request through the Department of Education and just basically said the heck with the Department of Education.
Democratic Senator Herman Kornbach says the section of the bill that would apply retroactively from July 2020 is unconstitutional.
An ex post facto law is a law that takes a prior act and criminalizes it when it wasn't criminal, when it occurred, or which enhances the penalty for an act to the extent that it was not at the time that it occurred.
Senator Kornbach says the filing of the bill with this retroactive section and this subcommittee meeting is delivering a message.
It seems to me that the Des Moines School Board has heard that message through this avenue as well as through others. So I would hope that we would look to the future to build a collaborative working relationship, one that has each side listening to the other, understanding that there are certain roles in our system that when the legislature passes laws, they're not permissions; they are enforceable dictates. But on the other hand, I think we have to have some sympathy for the difficulties that our school board members have gone through the last year now.
Senator Kornbach, I hear your concerns on Section 3. You're not the only one who's voiced those concerns.
The chair of the subcommittee, Republican Senator Amy Sinclair, says this section of the bill is something that may be reconsidered.
While this may have been prompted by the willful and intentional violation of Iowa code related to education from Des Moines, it's a much broader topic of conversation that I think we do need to advance, and I think we do need to have based on the fact that there are violations and there is no consequence when those violations do have harmful effects on children and families. I would just conclude that I will take into consideration, Senator Kornbach, your concerns on Section 3, but I do believe that we need to advance the first two sections of the bill out of subcommittee today. And to Dwana and Rob, I would love to take time and get to know you better and have a conversation about how we got to this point. I think, I will take ownership of it. I should have spoken with you long before, rather than just sitting in on your school board meetings. I should have spoken to you directly, and I will own that.
Senators Sinclair and Zahn signed to advance this bill to the full Senate Education Committee. This is the weekly legislative podcast, Under the Golden Dome. Activity next week will focus on bills passing out of most of the committees in order to remain viable. There is a deadline known as the funnel, requiring policy bills to pass out of full committee by March 5th. Iowa Public Radio has a handful of reporters working on legislative stories, especially our Statehouse reporter, Katarina Sestarik. Find her stories about this session from our website, iowapublicradio.org. Script editing for this episode comes from Iowa Public Radio's news director, Michael Leland. Digital team support comes from Matt Siren and Lindsay Moon. Subscribe to this podcast. New episodes are available every Friday evening. I'm John Pimple. Under the Golden Dome is a production of Iowa Public Radio.